Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week I wanted to touch on tricks that some brands use in regards to food products. So obviously a lot of it has to do with protein intake, but a lot of people can fall for these traps and tricks when they're buying stuff in supermarkets. Anything that has the word protein on it, people just pick it up straight away and think, grand, that's something I can get me protein from, when in reality the protein content is very low in that product. So I'm going to touch on that shortly, but firstly I just want to do my weekly recap on my calorie deficit. So today is a Monday, bank holiday Monday, St. Bridget's Day. It's the 2nd of February, and I am starting week 5 in my calorie deficit, so a full week ahead of me. So I have about 7 8 weeks left in this calorie deficit, so I'm going for 12 weeks in total. So I will be heading away to Australia and the Philippines in mid-April, so I plan to finish this probably the week before I head off. And yeah, just want to lean out, show off the muscle I've been building in the winter. I'm not losing body fat because I think I'm like, after whacking on the weight over Christmas or anything, no, like it's just trimming down for the summer, and then it's then maintained then through the autumn and winter. That's what I usually do. I eat a bit more food then. Not everyone who wants to go into a calorie deficit thinks that they're overweight or thinks that they badly need to lose weight. Sometimes it's a strategic approach that they're going on a summer holiday and they're like, right, I want to trim down a bit, show off this muscle, show off the glutes, show off the arms. They're going to be in a bikini for most of it. It's nothing to do that they think they're unhealthy or they're chasing low scale numbers. The scale's going to drop anyway, but if you're chasing a certain look, the scale will drop. Okay, so not everyone who is in a calorie deficit thinks that, you know, they look in the mirror and they think, oh, I'm fat. Okay, they don't. I don't, at least. Actually, the weight that I have maintained from September is when I finished my last calorie deficit, September to December. Like, I'm quite happy to stay that weight if I'm not going on any type of holiday, you know, in the summertime. I think it's a very sustainable weight. I think, you know, there's not much difference in me. But if I'm going away for 3 weeks and I'm going to be living in a bikini, then that's something I want to do for myself. I want to just trim down a bit and reveal the muscle I've been building for the past 6 months. So anyway, I am at 59.6 currently. I started it at 61.2, I think. So I have lost 3 4 pounds. So I did mention that when I was away, I also had my period the week before I went away. I was away for 4 days. A lot of things going on underneath the surface, going to cause major fluctuations. And then last week, the scale was dropping by the day because I was back into my normal routine and I was back in the gym doing my cardio, even though I was in the gym and doing cardio while I was away, but everything was back to normal. And yeah, the scale started dropping daily for a few days because that was the scale leveling off. That was my true weight showing up underneath all the fluctuations. Then it started to maintain a bit for a couple of days, and then I got another drop this morning. So I know the bank holiday is, it's a bank holiday Monday, so the bank holiday is just behind us. So if you are in a calorie deficit and, you know, throughout the month of January, I've discussed this in the last two episodes, you thought that you would be able to maintain a deficit by taking drastic approaches, too much cardio, very little food, and then you're thinking, February's the month for me, I'm going to go all out this bank holiday weekend, absolutely lose the run of myself, eat rings around myself and drink myself into a coma. And then I'm going to start fresh in February. First of all, that approach is like that pendulum effect, okay? Going from one extreme to the next. What comes up must go down. If you are going to take a drastic approach like that, it's not going to end well. And I say it to my clients all the time. Like, if I send them, say, a one-on-one client their program a week before they're due to start, I'm like, now look, listen, I don't want to see next weekend you going to every restaurant in the city, drinking rings around yourself, thinking, well, I won't be able to do this for the next 8 weeks, so I'm going to make the most of it. No, you're making life harder for yourself. It's like, go hard or go home, and then all of a sudden Monday you're straight into a calorie deficit and it's too overwhelming and you're not able to stick to it. Okay, like, you need to be living like a person who just walks daily, goes to the gym a couple of times a week, or even does home workouts and moderates their portions. Okay, that's a lifestyle. That's not just for 8 weeks. So if you thought, oh, it's the bank holiday, like, you know, everyone's going out, FOMO, I'm like, you are a grown adult. Okay, how many years do you keep backtracking on promises that you're making to yourself? Like I said last week, You wouldn't let your friend down. Why'd you keep letting yourself down? There's going to be plenty more bank holidays this year where you'll be at maintenance calories and you can overindulge that bit more and not be in the process of a calorie deficit, okay? Seriously, you need to stop letting your mind sway towards FOMO. Oh, but what if this happens and I'm not there? It's going to be the same bang average night. And I'm sure if you were out this weekend, you probably do have regret thinking, why did I go out? It was a shite night in the end. I ended up consuming too many cocktails, ordered a takeaway the next day, and here I am feeling sorry for myself. It's happened. It's in the past. Draw a line under it. The best thing you can do is how you respond to that. And it's not letting it seep into another month or another week or another weekend. Okay. Get up today. Get back on it. Go out on your walk. Log into MyFitnessPal, the meals that you're going to be having for the next couple of days. What protein sources have you got in your fridge? What carb sources have you got? Where are you going to fit in your workouts this week? How are you going to break up your steps over the next couple of days? Fat loss takes planning, okay? Waking up every day and winging it never works, never has, and never will, all right? Planning and prioritizing is literally what's going to get you from A to B. So if you don't do that and you fail to do that, fail to prepare, prepare to fail, it's so true, all right? You're just going to be able to get half-assed results, and you can't be greedy and expect 100% when you're only putting in 50%, okay? So get your act together and just get back up today or tomorrow and continue as normal, okay? And stop letting the weekends turn into an all or nothing approach. You have to treat Saturday and Sunday the same as you do Monday to Friday, all right? Your routine's a little bit different than Monday to Friday, I get that, but that's why planning is so important. Planning around it, making easy quick meals on the weekend if you're going to be out all day or doing things with the kids or you have things on, or calorie banking the few days beforehand to make room for a meal out or something. That's what it takes, that's what's required. You can't cheat this, all right, because the scale will humble you eventually. So anyway, my next point is, a lot of people ask me, what calories are you on? What cardio have you been doing? What steps have you been doing and stuff like that? So I'm doing cardio 4 days a week. I'm doing 4 40-minute sessions. Now, that's for my lifestyle, okay? And that suits me. I was doing 4 by 20 minutes before Christmas just to keep me fit and keep my body in a good composition, all right? That probably won't suit you. So don't be sitting there biting your nails thinking, oh, I should be doing what Enya's doing. No, I have clients doing different variations, different lengths of cardio, etc. One rule doesn't fit all. So don't take what I'm doing and think I have to do that because she's getting results. No, you'll get results when you stay consistent with your calorie deficit, stop taking bites off other people's plates and not tracking it, and then letting the weekend go to shit and starting again on Monday, all right? The stop starting approach is why you're not getting results and not tracking accurately and not planning, okay? That's why you're not getting results. It's not because you're not doing 4 cardio sessions a week, okay? And cardio is just a tool. It's not mandatory. If you have the luxury of going to a gym and doing cardio, or you have a machine at home, happy days. Like I said, in mastering your calorie deficit for 2026, start off with 10 to 15 minutes after a workout and build on it every week with 5 minutes until you maybe get to, maybe cap it at 45, okay? So that's the amount of cardio that I'm doing. It hasn't been increased yet. I am on 1800 calories on a training day and 1700 calories on a rest day. Okay. So if you're on 1200 calories and you just copied off your friend Mary and you're like, why can't I get results? And then what happens is you're starving come the weekend, you end up overeating and you don't have any energy to work out. That's probably why. Or if you're copying off someone's calories in general and you're not getting results, that's probably why. Okay. You have your own unique calories for you, for how active you are, for the height that you are, for the age that you are, and the weight that you are. Okay. Usually heavier individuals, like that could be anywhere between 70 to 100 to 120 kg, okay? They're going to need more calories. Calories are energy. Your body needs energy to shift you around from A to B. Not only does it need calories to breathe, eat, sleep, to digest food, to keep you alive, it needs calories for you to just walk around, for you to get up out of the bed, for you to go to the toilet, for you to walk up and down the stairs in the house, okay? And then it needs calories on top of that to exercise on purpose, okay? So the more weight that you lose, the less energy your body needs to shift you around from A to B. So don't have a heart attack when a coach sends you your calories and your macros when you want to go into a deficit. Oh my God, this is so high. My friend Mary is only on like 1400 calories. Yeah, because Mary probably weighs 56 kg, okay? And you probably weigh like 10 to 20 kg heavier than her. But when you lose weight, your calories will drop, okay, eventually. That's why I always do a recheck every 4 weeks with my clients who have lost maybe 2 to 3 kg. Their calories might drop by 50 to 100 calories. It just depends. And then we start with that number then going forward in that month. But use a TDEE calculator online and put in accurate information, okay? are you going to be active 1 to 2 days? So that means elevating your heart rate. Okay. So, you know, doing some type of exercise that's going to elevate your heart rate. Walking at a leisurely pace won't elevate your heart rate. If you're not used to walking and you sit on your hole all day and you go out and walk and you're out of breath, that probably will be cardio. Okay. But if you're someone who's on their feet all day and walk and you get your steps in on purpose, or by accident, I should say, because of the job that you have, then you probably need to be elevating your heart rate a bit, okay? So if you go to the gym twice a week or a circuit class, or you do cardio on purpose twice a week, you would be active 1 to 2 days. If you're someone who's elevating their heart rate 3 to 5 days a week, that could be doing your own cardio at home or doing 3 circuit classes or 3 spin classes. That would be 3 to 5 days. If you're someone who's an athlete and you train 3 days a week with a team, for example, and then you go to the gym 2 days off the side as well, you'd probably be highly active. So like that could be, you know, 6 to 7 days. All right. So walking 10,000 steps a day and it doesn't feel like an effort, that you would still be sedentary. Okay. So if that's all you do, then maybe just put in sedentary or 1 to 2 days and you'll get an accurate reading. Okay. But if you are someone who's going to be doing spin classes X amount of times a week or elevating your heart rate with, you know, a cardio machine, then ask yourself, how many days am I going to be doing that a week? And you'll get an accurate reading. Okay. And put in your height, weight, and age also. And I'm just at the losing run of myself. Sorry. Yeah. So that's the cardio I'm doing. I'm sure it will increase as we get deeper into the deficit. To build momentum, I always say that to my clients, we don't bite off more than we can chew at the start. We build momentum as we get deeper into the deficit because you're comfortable then. You're in a routine. And then that was my calories, my cardio and steps. So yeah, I'm doing like 8,000 to 10,000 steps a day. And the weather has been shit the last week or two. It's just been pissing rain. I lost a remote off my walking pad. I have to buy a new one. So until that comes, I've been just using the treadmill in the gym, or on days where time is tight, I probably just do an extra 15 minutes of cardio on top of my cardio session, because it's probably burning the same amount of calories as like 7,500 steps, you know, because it's pouring rain outside. And it's just, if I was doing a fitness photo shoot, I'd probably bring an umbrella. But at this moment in time, I'll just do a little bit of extra cardio to burn some extra calories, you know, compared to what I would have burned if I was walking. Something else I've been practicing as well since January 4th is I have a gratitude journal. And I always believe in that saying as well, win the morning, win the day. So when you wake up and the first thing you do is go on your phone and you're reading bad news, this has happened in the world, this person has died, this tragedy is happening, it can just put you into bad mood straight away. It really can. And it just affects your mood then that morning. Or if you just take out the phone and start scrolling, all of a sudden an hour is gone and that was supposed to be you making your breakfast and, you know, prepping your lunch or going out on a walk or something. It's an hour less now you have to work with and you're playing catch up then for the rest of the day. So I open my gratitude journal. It's an actual journal. It's not like on my phone. You could do it on your phone as well. Like, I mean, it's one of those head plan gratitude journals. Like, they are quite expensive, to be honest. I got it as a gift for Christmas. But you could just open up the notes app on your phone. I'm sure you can download an app as well. It's the exact same thing if you're not into keeping journals or writing in journals. But, you know, you open it and it has like a positive quote, like a motivational quote to start your day. And then it has like an affirmation that you write down. So for me, it could be, I will have the most successful year of my life. Like, that's something I would say, or I am the love of my life or something like that. And then it says it asks you for 3 things that you're grateful for. And that could be something like, I'm grateful for my courage. I'm grateful for my car that gets me from A to B. And I'm grateful to have a fridge full of food. And it just, and then another question they ask you is, what are you looking forward to most today? And it puts you in a good mood, because you know what, there's something today that I can look forward to. And it could be something as simple as going to get my coffee. Okay, that's something that cheers me up on a daily basis. And then at the end of the day, it says, what was your highest point of the day? And finish the day with a positive thought. So you're ending the day, you're starting the day in a good mood, and you're ending the day in a good mood. Okay, and it just, to save you from dwelling on, you know, things like stressful things that could be happening in your life, it just allows you to take a minute pause and be like, okay, my life isn't as bad as I thought it was. Sometimes materialistic things aren't the only things to be grateful for. Sometimes it's, we take for granted that we have a fridge full of food, or that we have, you know, both parents that are still alive and stuff, you know, things that we take for granted every day. But, you know, practicing gratitude or even journaling in general, it enhances your mental well-being by rewiring your brain to focus on positive aspects of life, rather than waking up and just our brain is designed to protect us and it's constantly going to think of, oh, I have to get this done. Oh, I have this coming up. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh my God, I'm so stressed about work. I have to do this. I have to do that. I'm late. I have to get on the bus. I'm late for work, etc. So it just does start the day off on a positive note. Okay. So the main point of the gratitude journal is basically, this year, I want to focus more on just self-awareness, self-growth. I was never a person, well, I probably was at some stage, maybe in my teenage years, but just people who have a fixed mindset, and it's very common as well with fat loss, like, I can't do this, look, I failed again, it's just not for me, I've tried everything. Well, you haven't tried everything because you clearly haven't tried a calorie deficit, because if you were in a calorie deficit, you would be losing weight. Have you tried being consistent? Okay. But yeah, I believe in a growth mindset. I don't like surrounding myself with people who have fixed mindsets. So I'll never change. I am the way I am. There's nothing you can do about it. I just have to stay like this. There's no room for growth. Like, the amount of people who you might surround yourself with on a daily basis rubs off on you. Like, if you're surrounded by negative people all the time, people who just don't want to do anything with their life, people who just stay in a job that they hate, stay in a relationship where they're not happy, etc., and they're just constantly dumping on you their trauma or their stress or their problems on you, that's mentally exhausting, okay? And then you surround yourself with people who have a growth mindset. Oh, I'm trying this new thing next week, or I've made a new group of friends, I'm going to try solo traveling, I'm going to try Oz for a year, or I'm starting this new business, I don't give a shite what people think of me online, I'm going to start a TikTok and, you know, help people and then eventually be able to make money from it. You're going to get people who judge you, and they're the people who have fixed mindsets, okay, because they won't grow. And then you're going to have people who have growth mindsets and they're like, that's a great idea, fair play to you, I've always wanted to do something like that, that's after inspiring me to change. And yeah, why shouldn't you go for it? Life is short, we all only have one life, you know, live it to the max. I would have loved to do that if I was younger, and if I had those opportunities, you know, you've no one to answer to, you've no kids, you've no partner, etc. Why not? Like, I love being around people like that, you know. And then obviously you have people who just have that small town mentality as well. They just work their 40 hours a week, sit in on the weekends, have a few cans, and then bang, it's just the same week over and over. And I am one of those people. I do not want to lie on my deathbed and have a million what ifs or a million regrets. I want to say I tried everything. Now, skydiving is probably where I draw the line, but, you know, I want to push myself, you know, as I'm in my 30s, are basically in my 20s, but with money, you know, and I want to push myself to try new things because I have the luxury of doing that, like traveling to places I've never been before. You know, meeting new people, etc., mixing with new friend groups, like networking, going to events I wouldn't normally go to because I just feel like, oh, I might not fit in. Like, just putting yourself out there, you know, put yourself into the universe and the universe will give something back to you. Yeah, so I've been trying to focus on, I think anyway, like changing my whole body composition over the last few years is definitely growth, you know, because I used to be one of those like, ah, no, it's handy ordering a pizza 3 times a week and going on the drink every weekend. And like, that's what I thought was fun back then. Okay. But I've done Dry January and I probably will continue till the end of February. I'm going to a concert and staying overnight and I'll probably have a few drinks there. But I actually, do you know what I find fun now? Going to bed, reading a book, watching something on Netflix on a Saturday or Friday night, and, you know, even this weekend, having a little scroll on TikTok, having a giggle, texting my friend in Australia because it means that we're awake at the same time, you know, talking about our Philippines trip, looking at accommodation, making a little itinerary. That's fun to me. Going to bed and waking up fresh and going for my walk. That's what I find fun now. And you know what? It makes you appreciate then the nights out that happen few and far between, because your friends do get older and they have kids and they have more responsibilities and everyone has their own life arc going on. And I wouldn't expect people to be meeting up with me every day of the week. Absolutely not. Like, we all have our own stuff going on. But you appreciate those nights out then, rather than going out twice every week and, you know, just being stuck to the bed. It's I just don't think that's living, to be honest. I've grown out of that. And yeah, just self-awareness, practicing gratitude, and just constantly looking for ways to grow. So, you know, you can say on your deathbed, I've lived a full life. And as Frank Sinatra actually says in that song, I did it my way. But I want to move on now to supermarket tricks. So, or brand tricks. I don't know why I keep calling it supermarket tricks, but all brands are guilty of this, okay? So do you know, if a food item has 1 gram of protein in it, That company can slap on the front of that packaging, high in protein or source of protein. Now, if you're only a newbie to the gym and macros and a calorie deficit, and your coach is saying you need to get X amount of protein in a day, and you walk into a supermarket and you pick up something that says high in protein or a source of protein, and you're not looking at the food label, all right? You're just fooling yourself. And I'll tell you why, because a lot of those products are actually very low in protein and they're very high in calories per serving. All right. So make sure you're reading the label. So, for example, I did a video about this before on my coaching page, and I bought a tub of Meridian peanut butter in Super Value, and it says high in protein. Okay. Now, I usually have about 10 grams of peanut butter in my oats, and that's 60 calories. Okay. To get 20 grams of protein from that tub of peanut butter, I would have to eat 100 grams of that, okay? So that's 600 calories to get 20 grams of protein from peanut butter. So it's not really a source of protein, because nobody's going to eat that amount of fucking peanut butter, okay? Unless you're a bodybuilder that is, 200 kilo full of muscle on steroids, and they have to eat 3 or 4 thousand calories a day. That's probably a good way to get calories in with some protein. You can get the same amount of protein from 4 slices of ham, 20 grams of protein from 4 slices of ham, and it's 80 calories. So do you see the difference here? So obviously lean protein like meats obviously gonna have a higher source of protein, all right? Less calories as well, because you've no ingredients in lean meat, okay? If you buy raw chicken in a pack, raw mince, raw steak, raw turkey, there's no ingredients in it, all right? So it's just pure lean protein, and you're getting your bang from your buck there. But there is some processed food, and look, I'm not one of these vigilantes who thinks, you should completely eliminate processed food from your diet. I think having some in it makes life a bit more colorful, okay? Because let's be honest, living on pure protein and pure veg probably isn't so fun, and it probably would limit socializing, okay? But if that makes you happy, happy days, it's just not for me. And then also, I think if you look on the back of a food label, if it has 10 grams of protein per 100 calories, that's usually a good sign. So for example, when you pick up a protein bar and it's 200 calories and has 20 grams of protein in it, that's 10 grams per 100 calories. Like, that's pretty good. But you'll come across like bags of pasta, and it'll be like source of protein. And it'll say on the back of the pack, if you look at the nutritional label, it'll be like, say, per serving, 300 calories for like 50 grams of pasta. Okay. And then you'll look at like the carbs, the fats, the protein, and it'll have like 10 grams of protein for like a 50 gram serving. All right. And that's 300 calories, and you're only getting 10 grams of protein from that. Like, it's not really worth it to use it as a source of protein. So that's why I say stick to the meats or the protein shakes or the protein bars, because they are like higher in protein because they're leaner. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong, like the protein bars and the processed food, like they're obviously going to have more ingredients like fats, oils, etc., like that. But like the protein yogurts and stuff like that, they'll have a few more ingredients in them, but they do tend to be better for your value in terms of like macros, like protein and calories, okay? And then you'll also see packaging that will say source of protein. So like it'll say it'll be 300 calories. Sorry, that's I'm reading the same point again. So ready-made meals. So some of them are quite high in protein. All right. Now, I am skeptical with ready-made meals, and I'll tell you why, because these are made on an assembly line. All right. There's a machine putting these together, and maybe they are weighing out the portion sizes, and they've keyed certain numbers into the machine, and the machine knows, okay, only 20 grams of chicken in this meal, 100 grams of rice, and 20 grams of sauce. Okay. Maybe every meal is the exact same, but I do open some meals and I'm like, there's no way this meal is 50 grams of protein. Like, I do be a bit skeptical. I'm like, there's barely a full chicken fillet here. And a full chicken fillet would be about 20 to 25 grams of protein. And there's not much protein in rice either. So say you're ordering like a chicken curry, I do be just a bit skeptical in that sense. Okay. But look, if you're feeding yourself and there's some type of protein in it, like it is handy to have if you're out on the road or if you're on the go and you just want a quick, easy meal to make. But I wouldn't be living off them, if you know what I mean. Because I remember I actually spoke to a fella who ran his own meal prep company. Now, he didn't have like a massive factory where he was able to package them and all like that. It was like those lunchbox type meals that they make in an industrial kitchen, and they have a couple of people working for them, and they're made there and then by hand. And I was saying, do you weigh out the protein sources? And he kind of looked at me and he was just like, nah, like we kind of just judge by eye after a while. Because it does take a lot of time to weigh food. If you're making like 100 meals for 100 customers, do you think you're going to have time to weigh like every single ingredient? No, you're just going to start guesstimating, okay? Does that mean stay away from meal prep companies? No. But I think if the scale does start to slow down a little bit, and maybe the calories aren't quite accurate, all right? If you're sticking to those type of meal prep companies for like a month or so and nothing's really changing, maybe the calories aren't that accurate, okay? But they are handy to have there, like, you know, the odd one here and there if you are busy and you just want to have one. You are feeding yourself at the end of the day, which is important. Food is energy. But so protein per serving, okay? So say you were getting a ready-made meal and protein was one ingredient, all right? And then you have your sauces, your rices, etc., your oils, anything else I can't think of, like, that's obviously going to add more calories, all right? So if you look at the serving size on the back of like one of those, say it was like a chicken curry bowl, all right, I'm not going to name a particular brand, but a lot of supermarkets would sell different brands of meal prep companies. Is that right? I don't want to name them because I don't want to hang them out to dry, but like you'd probably be thinking of a brand, all right? So there's loads of them out there that are in the supermarkets, but let's just say a chicken curry bowl, okay? And it says serving size and then protein per serving. So say the whole meal was 200 grams and it said on the back serving size is 100 grams. So that's like a portion for two people, okay? Now, sometimes they try to trick it and they'll say serving per 100 grams and people don't really look at that. And it could say serving per 100 grams is 200 calories or say 300 calories, right? But there's actually two servings in the bowl. All right, so that's 300 calories by two, which is 600 calories. All right, so protein per one serving is, say, 15 grams, right? And that's 300 calories. So in order for you to get 20 grams of protein, that's going to cost you 600 calories, which isn't a lot. All right, again, when you look at four slices of ham for 80 calories, and you can get 20 grams of protein from that, you know. So usually 10 grams of protein per 100 calories is usually a good gauge, okay? So a lot of those, like, fit food meals would be, say, 400 calories, but would have maybe 20 grams of protein, which is still pretty good. But I think if something is 600 calories and you're only getting 20 to 30 grams of protein, if you're in a calorie deficit, like, that's a lot of calories that you're spending. And, you know, that's probably only a fraction of your protein intake, you know. If you're someone that has to have 120 grams of protein, like, that's a quarter of your protein only taken, you know, and 600 calories is gone already. Like, so I think the lower the calorie and the higher the protein, it's much better. So make sure you're looking at the nutritional label on the back. And usually a lot of like food products, like, you know, granola bar, high in protein, and you look at the back of it and it's like 250 calories and it only has like 7 grams of protein, right? You need to be looking out for at least 10 grams per 100 calories, or at least close to that, okay? To make it worth your while, all right? Because if it's only 10 grams and the bar costs you 300 calories, like, you're going to struggle to fit your protein in for the rest of the day because you're going to have less calories to work with, you know? So, and then even like shop around as well, even when it comes to like yogurts, for example, like, you don't always have to go for the brand that the influencer is promoting online. Like, shop around, like a lot of protein yogurts, there's a lot of protein yogurts out there, right? Different brands, etc. So for example, you could get one that could say 25 grams of protein, all right? And then one beside it could be 20 grams of protein. The 25 gram one is going to have more calories in it, okay? It is, because it's bigger, right? So if you're looking for if you're in a calorie deficit and you're tight with calories, say you're only on like 40 and 1500, like, I wouldn't be going for the 25 gram yogurt, because if that's like 150 calories, I'd rather just get the 20 gram yogurt that is 100 calories and put those spare calories towards a meal, okay? Because a meal's gonna fill me more, okay? That's just a snack. I don't want to be wasting a lot of calories on snacks if my calories are already low enough, okay? Because I want to be focusing on lean sources of protein, proper meals, like big portions that are going to fill me, okay? And then little things like the protein yogurts just help get me over the line with the protein goal. So if I had a checklist for you to use when you go into a supermarket, this would be it. Look on the back of the packet if it advertises that it has protein content in it. Look at the protein per serving. Read that first, okay? Look at the nutritional label, or if it has it on the front, sometimes it does. Then look at the serving size, okay? So if it's 5 grams of protein for 100 grams, say it's a granola with a source of protein, right? And it says, oh, 100 grams of granola has 5 grams of protein in it, but 100 grams of granola is like 600 calories. Again, that's how companies trick you, all right? You're spending money on foods that aren't even going to give you that much protein in return, or waste of money, I should say. Ingredient source are proteins from whole foods, so like the lean stuff, like just from pure meat, okay? Or are they like protein bars, shakes, yogurts, etc., that would have like whey protein in it? Like it's literally just a broken down version of whey protein, okay? Like the powder. Look out for the marketing terms, so beware of those Trump like numbers, buzzwords, etc. And then overall nutrition, is this protein source? So if you're living off stuff that's just pure sugar, fat, and calories, and is very low in protein, and you're not having any like lean meats, now I know obviously just vegetarians and vegans listening, but you can get your protein from whole foods like eggs, fish, dairy as well. And we don't want to be getting, a lot of our protein from shakes and yogurts and protein bars, okay? That should just be at least 20% of our protein intake. And then compare against other products. Like I said about the protein yogurts, some will have more protein in them, but they'll be higher in calories. And then some will be lower in calories. Like, so for example, like I said, 20 grams of protein in a 100 calorie yogurt, and then 25 grams in a 160 calorie yogurt. Do you know what I mean? So I'd rather just get 20 grams in with 100 calorie yogurt and save 60 calories that I can put towards maybe extra rice or extra oats with my breakfast, things like that. So yeah, just to summarize, anything that says source of protein or high in protein, pick up the packaging, look on the back, look at the nutritional label, per serving size or per 100 grams, 10 grams per 100 calories, 10 grams of protein per 100 calories, or it is really good. Okay, so if a serving size is 200 calories and has 18 to 20 grams of protein, that's pretty good. Okay, anything lower than that, the calories kind of start getting higher. And yeah, just don't be looking for your protein in pasta and peanut butter and oats and rice, okay? You're looking for that in lean meats or like dairy products, like eggs and yogurt and stuff like that, okay? The yogurt should be more like snacks, and the shake should be more like snacks. When it comes to meal times, then your protein sources should be coming from lean meats, okay? And then just keep an eye out on those meat on those ready-made meals, because I often go into a supermarket, the one that I shop in. And they have ones now that I think are designed for men, like they're higher in calories. So usually I go for like, say, a 400 to 500 calorie ready-made meal. And then they have bigger ones that are like 700 calories. Okay. But I think they're made for like men who obviously will always be on higher calories because they're bigger individuals. They have more muscle, they have bigger bones. So try, if you are using a ready-made meal, maybe try stick to like, 400 to 500 calories. Just to keep obviously room for your other two meals that day, and a snack or two as well. Okay. So I hope I made that clear. If you have any questions on that, sure, send me a message on Instagram, and I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will be back next week.